Oh, glory to God. I want to start, I think, in Colossians. I was thinking before the service, just kind of came to me how I was 18 when I first figured out I was called. I wasn't raised in church, so I didn't really know there was such a thing as serving God in ministry your whole life. And when the pastor asked me to be an associate, youth associate, which really meant, you know, there was no pay, it was just a responsibility. I was the same age as all the youth, so. But it was just so amazing to me how, that, you mean God can use me? And the first time they asked me to preach, I thought, wait a minute, don't you have to be perfect before you can preach? I mean, I really thought that. I thought, wait a minute, I can't preach. I thought you had to be like, have your act together. And, you know, as you grow up in, through ministry, you kind of figure out that's not the case at all. You know, we can make it. Why not us? Why not you? Why not you bring in revival to your family? Or why not you? Why do we have to hear about it in some other country or some other man or some other person? Why not us? Why not me? Why not you? Why can't we fulfill our calling? You know, as we follow God, it's kind of a lot of things are in the future. It's walking by faith. As you don't have the substance necessarily in your hand, but you know it's coming. How many know what that's like? See. But we are going somewhere. You can make it. There, I wasn't designed to make it. At 18 years old, I was not equipped for ministry. And thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost. Thank God for a Father willing to take us and never give up on us, never quit on us. You know, my perception of God as a Father has grown so much these last few years. And understanding how much He really loves you. How much He thinks about you. Every moment of every day of your life, you have someone thinking about you. It's your Father. He loves you. And not to get all mushy and everything, but the truth is, you have someone who loves you. You have someone in your corner your whole life wanting you to succeed. Wanting you to overcome, wanting you to grow and mature into all that He has for you. I didn't know that. I was taught a little bit different. If you have a bad thought after church, you have an argument with somebody, and you have an angry thought that you hold on to, and you die in a car wreck on the way home after church, you're not going to make it. I remember early on praying, oh God, please, please return when I'm having a good day. Because back then there was more bad days than good days, you know. Just pick a day when you come back and the trumpet sounds when I'm having a good day. You know. All right, Colossians chapter 3. Start in verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now this is important. Because when God looks at you, if you've been raised, how many have been raised, not raised, like brought up in Christ, but raised again, born again in Christ, hold your hand up, obedient person or people, very good. Your life is hidden in Christ. See, we have an image of God the Father and Christ over on his right hand sitting here. And then in our mind, we think that maybe we're sitting over here beside Christ. But it says our life is hidden in Christ. See, when God the Father looks at you, he doesn't see you. He sees the Christ in you, the hope of glory. So instead of you seeing yourself seated beside Jesus in heavenly places, you're actually in Jesus in heavenly places. See, all that he has belongs to you. See, you're as much a part of the kingdom of God as Jesus, our older brother, is. Not in his divinity, but in all that he made available to us. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now hold your finger there. We're going to come back here. And let's go over to 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. This has been kind of rolling around in my spirit for a few months, and I'm receiving more and more on this. And we'll start in verse 9 of chapter 1 Corinthians 15. Apostle Paul says, "For I am least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Say, by the grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, so you believed. So the grace of God, the Apostle Paul is saying here, it was by the grace of God I am what I am. And this revelation keeps rolling over on me. Every time I face a challenge since I've seen this, I keep hearing this in my spirit. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. And there's an image in there that's starting to come out to me more. It's not like, you know, you rub me the wrong way and I cuss you out. I say, hey, I am what I am by the grace of God. You get what you get. It's who God made me. Put up with it. You're supposed to love me. Be nice to me. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying all that I've become, everything I've become, is by his grace. And there's an underlining humility in this. That there's nothing you do. How do I say this? Because the grace is not what does the actions for you. It's what gives you the ability to grow and change. Oh, praise the Lord, it's by grace. That means I get to quit praying in tongues. Whew, I knew it. Prayed in tongues too much and everything went crazy. Nothing worked out. It's good to pray in tongues, but not too much. It's okay to fast, but not too much. It's, you know, confess the word, sure, but you know, just a bit too, you know, got to be balanced. I love that word. The grace does not do it for you. I go to sleep, Jesus. Thank you for helping me lose weight. Glory to God. The next morning, it just hasn't worked. Facing the food I want to eat at the menu when I order, and I just give me the strength, God. I had one friend one time when I was in Bible college. I was overseeing the Bible college. He's a friend. And he left the Bible college and went home. And he said, I went to visit him, and his sister came up and said, "Alan, you need to talk to him. He's been here for a year and a half, and he's just having a hard time. There's this girl, and he's been messing around with her. And don't tell him I told you." Now, this is a few years back, so I've been refined a little bit since then. And she said, her name is Sue or Joan or something like that. We'll say Joan. Her name is Joan, and he's just having a hard time. He's messing with her, and he's falling, and you need to talk to him. So during that night, I sent him across from him. I said, "Buddy, I've been praying for you, and God gave me a name." He's really gullible, you know. His eyes got really big. What do you mean? I said, "I don't know. This word Joan kept coming to me. Joan. Does it mean anything to you? Joan." And he said, but you understand. You understand, I tried so hard to, because he was, a good-looking fellow, and he didn't have a problem with the girls had a problem with him. And he said, "She asked me to go over and watch a movie at her house, and I begged God, 'Please, God, give me the strength to make it through the night without messing around with this girl.'" And he looked at me and said, "And God failed." I said, are you an idiot? I said, "What do you want to do? Be on the couch in the wrong position and God just to translate you off the couch and put you in your car? How does that work?" Boy meets girl, girl meets boy. The heart goes pitter-patter, pitter-patter. They start to get emotionally involved, and then you'll hear the girl say, "God, if it's not your will, just take all the care I have out of my heart for him. Then I'll know it's not your will." It doesn't work that way. When I want to lose weight and I'm supposed to get up in the morning and jog, the grace is there to give me the strength to do it. See? And here's where pride has to leave. I am what I am by the grace of God. Hold that, and let's go back over to Colossians chapter 3. "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members." See, it doesn't say the grace has put him to death. It doesn't say your members are dead. He said, "You died." But then he says, "Now you have to put to death your members." Wait a minute, I died. How come the members didn't die? "Therefore, put to death your members which are on this earth: fornication, uncleanliness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourself are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. For there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." Now, Let's go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I used to think I had to change, but the word transformation is beginning to make more sense. I don't have to change my old man, the flesh, the soul. I have to put it to death and be transformed. Transformed means like from one species to another species. See, when Adam was first created, he lived in both worlds at the same time. He lived in the spiritual world and in the natural world at the same time. He walked and talked in fellowship with God. Was as pure as God was pure, as perfect as God was perfect. Wasn't inferior, didn't feel at all inferior. He looked at God in the eye and talked to Him. Fellowshiped with Him. We were made, man was made to operate in two worlds at the same time. I think what happened was his consciousness, where he lived, was in the place of the spiritual part of his mind. And his body was there to serve his spirit. But when he sinned, his consciousness was pulled into his natural mind. That's why he looked and realized he was naked. Nonetheless, you and I are spiritual beings as much as we are natural beings. Praying in tongues is a practical way of changing or being transforming yourself from one species to another. The old man, the nature, was killed the day I was born again. But the remnants of it, the soulish part, the what we call the flesh, I still have to deal with and put it to death. Now, I am what I am by the grace of God. I no longer have to try to change my bad habits. I need to put them to death. Putting them to death has just as much to do with me stopping giving in to them, but also me stop giving them credit and power to rob me from the blessings of God as well. I no longer give credit to my weaknesses. Because I'm able to be transformed into this new man, which is houses love and kindness and goodness and gentleness. I am what I am by the grace of God. The temptation that Satan came to give to Adam was the same sin that he produced in his own loins. He produced sin. He was the originator. And it was a pride. And that same pride is what Lucifer came to Adam in the garden with. He said, you don't know, even know. How can you choose? You don't know right from wrong. You don't know good from evil. You have to first eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil so you at least know what evil is. Then you can choose. See, the pride, the pride of life, the pride that says, I get to live my life the way I want to live it. I want to choose where I go, what I do. I want to live my life. See, that pride of life is where religion is birthed. That I'm going to serve God and do things for God, but I get to keep in charge of where I go and what I do. That's the original sin. You're under bondage, Adam. You don't get to choose. You don't know evil. You just know good. You can't choose where you live. Well, listen, when you follow God, your life is not your own. You're not supposed to be able to choose either. We're supposed to submit our life into His hands. I am what I am. I'm getting there. So where pride is removed in this walk that we're on, that I, Alan Taylor, who was born of the household of Taylor and the family of Adam and Eve and in the human race, the moment I humbled myself and knelt down at the altar and was born again, that's the day that I died. The very nature of Alan Taylor was put to death. They should have a little burial plot. We should have little burial plots right up here. All the people who died at the altar. I stood up a new creature. A new man. Born again with the life of Christ in me. See, there was zero hope for the human race. The moment Adam sinned, the entire human race was condemned to go to hell. There is no hope for them. There's nothing you could have done in your life to make it back to God. Nothing. You could have been the best person possible. You could have sold all your goods and given to the poor. You could have worshiped God and danced before Him and bowed before Him and sacrificed everything. But those works were never going to get you back into Him. The human race, every human born, every single human born is born to live their life and to die and go to hell. There is no hope for a human to ever go to heaven. That's why what God had to do was to create a door from the human race into His family. From the family of Adam into the family of God. Where if you simply humble yourself and become born again, you are born out of the human race and into the family of God. And then, the real you, who you were born, actually died. And He gave you a new life. You're now part of His family. He is your Father. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that purchased for me the liberty to be born out of my old family, to be born out of a road to hell. Someone says, well, how can a good God send people to hell? He doesn't. Adam did, and God's been trying everything since to stop him. He's a judge. That simply means He judges the situation. Doesn't mean He sends you there. He just tells you, you're not born again. So, what good thing did you do to get born again? What good work did you do? Nothing. You humbled yourself. So when I decide to put to death the members that were left over from the old Alan and conquer my soul, I tried discipline. Didn't work. Lasted for about a day. Maybe two. I tried chasing the devil away using authority. Go for me in Jesus' name. He'd run, but he'd come back. Transformation. Putting to death the old me and bringing my life to the new me. See? So when I take an hour and pray in the Holy Ghost, or 2 hours, or 3 hours, when I take a day and fast, or 2 days, or 3 days, or what part of me does that have to do with? What great man am I? Because if I wasn't born again, I could fast. I could go to church and worship God. I can do all the things in my good power, and it would not do me any good. So because I was born again, I now have the ability that's not from me, but from God, to go down a path of transformation that's going to take me from a natural man to a spiritual man. That's, I think, why Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. He gives all credit to his, who he is, to the grace. Not a grace that does the work for you, but the grace that gives you the power to walk out of who you were into who God has destined for you to be. Let's read that again. Verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So when I faced something, the old me used to think, I am tackling a problem. I am reaching for revival. If I just pray enough, I'll get revival. If I just fast enough, I'm going to get this. And it put me into fights all the time. Problem arise, and I'm going to fight that thing in Jesus' name. Come here. And I remember when we hit our first big financial giant. And everything in me wanted to run. And God instructed me. He gave me instructions. As a preacher, full-time preacher, I don't want you to book meetings. I want you to sit and pray and get to know me. I said, well, how am I going to pay my bills? And he told me that that was his problem, not mine. My job was just to obey him. And so it was okay at first until the money wasn't there. And the bills were coming. Ba-da-boom. Ba-da-boom. Every day, a little closer. And my schedule was empty. It's almost like I got lazy. Didn't care. He had snuck up on me. I call him Jehovah Sneaky. He coddled me to this place to where it was easier to give up than it was to fight and fix it. My emotions were screaming at me. You're going to fail. You're going to lose everything. Get on the phone and book some meetings. I said, God, please let me get a job. I want to get a job. I don't like this faith stuff. I want to get a job. Because although I've been in ministry for 20 years, 15 of those years was working for another ministry. So as long as you did your job, you got a paycheck. But when he told us to leave and move to Tulsa, I didn't realize that didn't require much faith at all. Getting a paycheck, I mean. And every day I get closer. Boom. No, I said, please let me get a job. I've worked my whole life. I don't mind getting a job. Nope. I mean, I could have. I could have fixed it. I could have gone on the phone and booked some meetings or taken some bookings that people had called. But I knew I would be violating something on the inside of me. And finally, I just gave up. Say, give up. I gave up. I said, God, I followed you this far, it's worked. I might as well just try it the rest of the way. I said, I give up. And what he shared with me was, it's okay to have fear in our emotions as long as you don't get off the path. Because it's just an emotion. So after I made that decision, I'm not going to change course. I'm not going to fix it. I'm going to try it and see. What's the worst that can happen? I'll still be alive. Still have a beautiful wife. Hey, not too bad. I can move in with Gary. And the first thing that came to me was, well, if you're going to stand, then you're going to have to double your prayer time. And you better fast these next couple weeks. Because in 2 weeks, everything's due and you have zero to pay for it. And look around. There's no way you can see where it's coming from. No one owed me money. And I said, yeah, I probably should. But something rose up in me. And here's what it said. The reason that he was able to tell me to take that stand was because I had become the son, or I had come to a place of being where I could trust him for my finances. In other words, the only reason he was able to tell me to do that was because I was becoming the person who could receive it. Not because I prayed to get it. Not because I fasted to fight. I'm going to bring in those finances in Jesus' name. I had become the person who could receive it. I don't know if you're getting this or not. There's a peace that we walk in where we become the men and women and children of God who can receive all our inheritance. The reason we pray and fast is not, and confess, is not to do warfare in a situation, as much as it is to transform ourselves by his grace into becoming that person who can receive the blessings of God. Used to be when we prayed for the sick, we'd roll the dice. We put it on the people. You know. Well, if you have faith, then just come receive. Nothing happened, you just don't have faith, brother. It's not me. But this road of transformation by his grace is allowing us to become the man who lays hands on the sick and they recover. The woman who lays hands on the sick and they recover. The man who receives $1 million a month into the kingdom of God. The woman who receives $1 million. See, it's all because of his grace. All of it. There's nothing good in my life that I can give credit to. I was in Hawaii one time with them. They had a millionaires meeting with all these millionaires showed up, Christian millionaires in Maui, I think it was. Had this big resort. And I was rubbing shoulders with these big guys. And I remember we're in a meeting. And they had cutting edge stuff. All the lights were dim and little strobe lights going on and videos on. And the preacher said, now, I want you to Grab the guy next to you and just tell him what you're believing for. You're supposed to have something you're believing for. And I said, the guy next to me, I said, I'm believing for $500. And he's real nice. He listened to me. I poured my heart out how I was just standing in faith for $500. What a dream to have $500. I was going to get it by faith. I said, that's good. I'll agree with you. Thank you. Thank you. A few minutes later, I said, now our guest speaker today is the guy who built Disney World. I said he was going to fall apart, and his vision, his concept of Disney World and his direction built this massive, now multi-billion dollar business. And so if our guest speaker will please come. And it was a guy sitting there. It was that guy. Stood up, walked up there, and I thought, oh man. $500 to him is like shoe shine in the morning, you know. But what bothered me in this millionaires Christian meeting was all these millionaires got up and talked about how God blessed them in their abilities. I never heard one man say, you know, none of it is because of me. It's all because of him. There's a pride that has become part of our Christianity that allows us to live our life, do great things for in the name of God and for God, but it allows us to keep the ability to run our life. There's nothing. How do I say this? I feel like I'm prophesying a little bit here. There's nothing he can use from your ability. Doesn't mean you won't use your ability. I have a good friend. He's an excellent guitar player, excellent singer. And years ago, we were talking. He said, all I want to do is play guitar and sing for the Lord. And I said, that's not the answer you're supposed to give. You're supposed to say, all I want to do is what he wants me to do. I am what I am by the grace of God. We are being transformed into men and women of God who walk in dominion, not in fights, not in scraps, although we, you know, things come, we got to walk through them. But what I'm saying here is when you get up in the morning, you're supposed to enjoy your day and have victory and know that victory's coming. I'm no longer a man trying to lose weight. See, I am becoming, by his grace, a man who is thin. I mean, this is really powerful to me. I am becoming that man. It is becoming part of my life. It's becoming who I am, what I eat, what I do with activities. I'm not believing for something all the time. What do you do? I'm believing for this. Well, how are you believing for that? Well, I'm just waiting. Well, if he hasn't got it to you yet, he won't be able to get it to you next year either. I've got a call to do this, and I'm believing God's going to use me. Well, how are you believing? Well, I'm just waiting. No, because if you could have it, he'd already give it to you. How do we believe? You and I are on a pathway. Well, I don't want to just say you and I. Whoever is praying, fasting, confessing the word, meditating the word. See, it's becoming us. It's who we are. And all the promises of God. When God looks at us, he doesn't see me. He sees Christ in me. And me in Christ. I am what I am. By his grace. Dominion means when you walk in the room and there's blind eyes and deaf ears. It's not rolling the dice, waiting for the anointing. Maybe the anointing will come. You can speak to him because you are that man or that woman who walks with God that way. The devil will be happy to keep us running around in circles. Dominion is when we make him leave. We make cancer leave. We make sickness leave. That's what we do. You're not at the mercy of sickness and disease and poverty. You make it leave. You make it go. Well, I prayed and nothing happened. Well, what you need then is some more transformation. Get to confessing. Get to praying. But I'm believing God's going to change it. Honey, if you ask, you speak and do not doubt in your heart, you will have whatever you say. Well, I spoke to it, it didn't change. So the problem is not the speaking, it's the believing. So how are you believing? Well, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for my ministry to come to pass. God's a tough boss that way. Because he is not interested in your ministry. He's interested in you growing into it. In maturity and strength. I don't know who I'm preaching to today. Probably to myself. We get to become the man and woman of God who walk in victory every day. You wake up in the morning and everywhere your footsteps, the devil has to leave. My home belongs to God, belongs to me. Think I'm going to let a robber come into my house? I don't have to put up with a thief and a liar. You don't either. Brother Norville told a story one time. His daughter Zona, when she was a child, she had many warts all over her body. And he tells the story that he prayed and asked God to remove those warts. And nothing happened. She was a teenager. So I think Zona said she counted them every day. 96 warts on her body. All over. She knew exactly where they were. If you knew Zona, you know that's true. And Brother Norville said he had a vision. I can't remember if he said he went to heaven or just had a vision. But he was talking to Jesus about the warts on his daughter's body. And Jesus said, "How long are you going to put up with those warts on her body?" And Brother Norville said, "Me? I've been praying for you to remove those warts." And God told him that it wasn't his job to remove the warts. He said, "I told you to speak to the mountain." See? We make things move. There's intercessors. I don't know who are intercessors here. the real ones. I don't mean to be mean. I'm sorry if that came across mean. I'm trying to be nice, nicer. But there are people who really are intercessors. They're the ones you don't know are intercessors. Where the God or the Father will instruct them to pray for a situation. Give them names, give them things. I've been in their prayer meetings, some of them, it's really amazing. And God uses their authority to go deal with things, to move things. We don't wrestle with the devil. We make him move. It's not God the Father and Lucifer the enemy in an epic war battle for the earth. The devil is just an angel. He's a cherubim, a fallen angel. He is not in God's league. God knows what the devil's going to do and what the enemy's going to think 10 billion years before he even thought of it. And has already worked a plan to fix it, change it. We are not at war with a defeated foe. Real quick, back to Colossians, and then I'll be quiet. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through the faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting requirements, that's like a legal term, all accusations and debt that you owed, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Everything that your old man condemns you of has already been nailed to the cross through the flesh of Jesus Christ. And then look what happens. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. This is a term that the old Roman army used to do. The old Roman army would go into a country and conquer it. And they'd take the king of that country, the one who used to rule over everyone in that country, and they'd take him and they put a rope around his neck and they'd strip him naked. And the Roman army would walk through the town of the very people the king used to rule, with him now naked and bound with a rope around his neck, and the people that he used to rule were allowed to spit and throw things at him and laugh at him and mock him, because he has been disarmed and made powerless. That's what Jesus did with the devil. How? By taking the handwritings of requirements that he had against you and nailing it to the cross in his flesh. You're not trying. We are not trying to believe God for revival, to believe God for finances. We're not trying to believe God for healing. We are trying to transform into who he's allowed us to become. Men and women, children of God. Not by our strength, not by our power, not by our ability or our might, but by his grace. I now have the ability to pray in tongues and let go, get this old man, this monkey on my back, this ugly old Alan, this soul, selfishness, and I can shed it and walk in love and grace and gentleness and authority. I'm not wrestling with the devil either. I get to make him leave. We have, as children of God, the ability to speak to our mountains and make things move. I am what I am. The finances came in that month. The next month we were broke again. Still nothing on the schedule. But he did it. The next month, he did it. The next month, he did it. And the next month, he did it. And the next month. He's done it so many times, I don't worry about it anymore. I went to Gary one time. Real nervous, they're in the middle of all this. He said, "Oh, so you're..." I didn't get a chance to speak. I think he just looked at my face and said, "Oh, believe in God, going through things, yep, been there. Have you spoken to it yet?" I said, I couldn't lie. When you speak to things, they move. I am what I am by the grace of God. God's grace has allowed me to become a man of love, a man of gentleness, of kindness. Every day I get a little closer. But not just because I am believing, it's how I'm believing. I'm believing by investing my time into the very things that help me to transform into that person. And once I'm there, I used to be taught that you had to create an atmosphere for God to work in. Create an atmosphere of faith for healing, and there'd be healing. You have to create an atmosphere before he can come. But on this path, I am becoming a man that when I stand before a deaf person or a blind person or a crippled person, or as Pastor Dave says, when we go into the hospitals for the children, we can make those things move. Not by our strength, because we are the ones who he can work through, because we become like him. So to sum up the message, let's quit giving credit to the old man's failures and start walking in the victory we already have. Walk around every day. Get up in the morning. I'm changing the world today. Glory to God. A poverty mentality tries to jump on your back. You can be saved 1 minute and beat that one. That's a baby. Make it leave. Don't put up with it. Come on, we're mountain movers. We're world shakers. But not because of our ability or our great strength, but by his grace, we can be transformed into the children who can walk in all the blessings he has for us, the anointings. Amen. All right. I don't know what to do. I keep going, but I better not. Let's pray, and then I'll release you. And if you'd like to have prayer tonight, then I'll be glad to pray for you up here. I just feel the same strength for us, for me, for you, for everyone on this walk. That where we're going is not a place of survival, a place of just making it, a place of just barely getting there. It's, where we're going is a place of victory, of every day waking up in peace and assurity. doing what you love, being able to do what you are meant to do. Don't give up. Don't change course. This is not a survival of the fittest. This is a victory for the humble. The ones who humble themselves and shall take up this grace. So many of us have come a million miles, Father. When we look in the mirror, we can see how many more millions of miles we think we have to go. But I thank you that you celebrate the million miles we came. And that there is grace to finish our walk. We're not on this path to fail. We are on this path to complete our course. We love you. Glorify you. Magnify you. You're worthy of all praise and glory and honor. Father, you are all that we have. We have nothing without you. Without you, we don't have life. Without you, there's no hope. You are everything to us. We worship you, glorify you, magnify you. We love you. We love you. Thank you, Father. We're going to speak to some circumstances right here. If you're in the middle of a circumstance that needs to change, doesn't matter if it's physical or finances or family, then just stand up right where you are. Thank you, Lord. We resist failure. I thank you, Lord, that each one here standing, all of heaven is standing behind them right now. They're not standing on their own trying to get God to move. They're standing with all of heaven behind them, waiting to move. So we speak to our circumstances right now, to our finances. Devil, you take your hands off our finances right now. Release those finances in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that angels are going out and bringing in finances for each person in need here. And we give you the glory and honor for it right now. We speak to our family and we call them in. We call peace to our house. Wisdom. Wisdom in every situation, your wisdom, your love for every situation, Father. To our health, our bodies, we speak to pain and disease, sickness. We resist you. We make you move right now. Move right now. We don't have to put up with you anymore. Father, we thank you for it. We are your children. Father, I'm your child. And I receive all that you have for me. just because you love me that much. We thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. Hey, man, I'm going to release you quietly. If you're free to go. If you'd like prayer, though, I'll be up here to pray for you if you like.